Ray Edwards Podcast, Episode 29. Joint Ventures and How to Do Them. Oh my goodness, have I got a show for you this week. I know it's coming in late on Wednesday night, but it is happening on Wednesday, so I'm on schedule. I just got back from San Diego, where we had a fantastic visit, a great conference, JV Alert Live. I met lots of interesting, fun, exciting, switched on people. And what a great city San Diego is. Of course, the weather was perfect. The boats in the water, stunning. The food was great. And the people were friendly. And I presume that the women are strong, the children are all good looking, and they all do above average in school as well. It's good to be back home in Spokane, but I'll say this. Stay classy, San Diego. That's for the Ron Burgundy fans. Well, so joint ventures. Joint ventures are a hot topic anywhere you go around the online marketing world. And there's a lot of talk on the internet marketing community about how do you JV, as we say it, as a verb. How do you JV? Well, this past weekend, as I just mentioned, I was a featured speaker at JV Alert Live in San Diego and talking with so many of the people there about their concept of what a joint venture really is led me to create this week's podcast. And in this episode, we'll discuss three very specific things. One, what a joint venture is. Two, how to create joint ventures. And three, pitfalls to avoid. I've also got some other stuff that I want to share. I've got a couple of great interviews. We'll be talking with the founder of JV Alert, Ken MacArthur, and also with one of the co-founders of Easy Web Video, Michael Crisa. So that's all coming up. And we'll hear from our lifestyle business correspondent, Stu McLaren. And finally, if you're a little bit geeky, I think you're going to be excited when I share with you and tell you about my brand new portable podcasting rig. In fact, let's just go ahead and get right to that. That's going to be my tip of the week this week. So for this recent trip to San Diego, I knew that I wanted to do some recording for the podcast, but what I did not want to happen was I didn't want there to be a big decrease in the sound quality of the show. Well, that meant I had to buy some new gear. First of all, because I needed two microphones that had a pretty even sound that sounded alike in audio quality. And I also didn't want to take my very expensive, very fragile Heil PR40 on the road with me. So I went in search of a couple of road mics. And I ended up investing in a couple of microphones, specifically the Audio-Technica ATR-2100. These mics render very superior sound quality, and they're quite inexpensive. And just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, I'm going to go ahead and get my ATR-2100 and give you a comparison. So right now I'm talking to you using my Heil PR40, which is a mic that costs anywhere from $300 to $400, and it has a very rich, full sound. And that's why I was willing to spend so much money for this particular microphone. And now I'm going to switch, and now I'm speaking to you on the ATR-2100, which doesn't sound quite as good as the Heil PR40, but it's very, very close. So listen carefully. This is the ATR-2100, and this is the Heil PR40. Back to the 2100. So this is a great portable podcasting microphone, and in fact, I think it's a great microphone if you are on a budget. You could spend $400 for the Heil PR40. So for the same money, well, half the money, really, for $200, you could have four ATR-2100s because they cost around $50 on Amazon. So I'm back on my Heil PR40 now. You can hear the difference, but the ATR-2100 is a really great little mic. And I also used in my portable podcasting kit, here's the gear I had. I had the two ATR-2100s. I had a Zoom digital recorder, the H2 model. They make several different models. I like the H2. It's a few models old, but it works just great. And I also had a Behringer 1202 mixer. Now, the reason for the mixer is so that I could plug those mics into the mixer and have them powered by the phantom power in the board. And if you don't know what that means, don't worry about it. But it enabled me to mix the two mic sounds together and separately control the volume of each microphone. And then I ran that out to my Zoom digital recorder and captured the audio file. And you'll be able to hear the results because I'm using those interviews in this particular podcast episode. Now, while I use this for a portable podcasting setup, and I spent about $100 on the mics, about $200 for the digital recorder, so that's $300, and about $100 for the mixer. So for $400, you could have a very nice podcasting studio, and you could use it for portable purposes, or you could use it just for your everyday podcasting as well. I think it would be a great rig, especially if you're just thinking of starting out your podcast and you don't want to spend a ton of money just to get started. So that's the tip of the week. It's time for our spiritual foundation segment of the show, where we talk about things that are the foundation of business. If you don't have your spiritual stuff straightened out, nothing else in your life is going to ring quite true. And today, I don't mean to kick a hornet's nest here, but I really feel that in a lot of ways, modern Christianity is indeed, as many would say, all about the signs and wonders. And what I mean by that is they've seen our signs, and I think it's beginning to make them wonder, what am I talking about? Well, Jesus was about the business of love and forgiveness, not about the business of judging, and certainly not about the business of judging the wounded. And this was all brought to the forefront of my mind when I was listening recently to an album by Casting Crowns. And there's the lyrics of this particular song. The song is called Jesus, Friend of Sinners. And the lyrics say, nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. What if we put down our signs, crossed over the lines, and loved like you did? And I think this is a real message for those of us who are believing Christians, that I don't feel that the Lord would have us judging and criticizing and certainly not marching around carrying signs about who we hate. That's completely inconsistent with the message that Jesus brought to the earth. He spent his time with the disreputable people, with the so-called sinners. And in fact, if you do a little reading in your New Testament, you'll discover that the only people that Jesus became really angry with were the professional religious people. Things that make you go, Now, even within Christianity itself, there are many different denominations, there are many different flavors of belief within the body of Christ on the earth. There are Catholics and Protestants, and within the Protestant church, there are many different denominations or divisions. And there's a lot of finger-pointing and a lot of judging about who's right and who's wrong. But I always try to remember the words of the Apostle Paul that he wrote in Romans chapter 14, verse 4, where he said, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. With that in mind, I say, let's do put down our signs, cross over the lines, and love like he did. Don't you think that's a good idea? This is my favorite new segment of the show. It's where we get our friend Stu McLaren to talk to us about lifestyle entrepreneurship. I think you're going to enjoy what Stu has to say today.
Hi, my name's Stu McLaren, co-founder of Wishlist Products and creators of the best-selling membership site platform, Wishlist Member. Now, I'd also add to that list that I'm a proud lifestyle business owner. And if you recall in my last segment, I walked through the experience of discovering that I am a proud lifestyle business owner. But what does that really mean? What is a lifestyle business? That's what we're going to explore in this segment as we go through the five characteristics of a lifestyle business, starting with number one. Income covers desired lifestyle. Income covers desired lifestyle. You see, when a business owner is setting up a lifestyle business, the aim is to sustain a particular level of income in order to enjoy a particular lifestyle. So if you enjoy traveling a lot, then you want a business that's going to be set up to afford you the ability to not only travel, but also has flexibility to allow you to travel when you want to travel. If you want your husband or wife to stay home with you, perhaps with your kids, perhaps they have a job that they don't necessarily like, or perhaps you just want more family time, then you would design your business around allowing that to happen. If you want a particular house in a particular location, well, you would have a business that would afford you the ability to do that and the flexibility to live where you want to live. It's all about designing the business around the lifestyle. Now, here's the key. More often than not, business owners who are designing a lifestyle business will settle for less income in order to preserve the lifestyle. So, in fact, they may rather work 40 hours versus 80 hours, and they may work less intensely, meaning they may not be working as hard because higher priority is preserving the lifestyle. So many times they sacrifice income in order to preserve the lifestyle. That does not mean, however, that a lifestyle business necessarily has to forego revenue, or that it's not profitable, or that it cannot work to provide you the lifestyle you want. Trust me, there are many, many case studies and examples of these lifestyle businesses that are very, very profitable. But more often than not, the business owner will settle for less income in order to preserve the lifestyle. So number one, income covers desired lifestyle. Number two, it is not location restrictive. It is not location restrictive. Now, this one is basically very identifiable, meaning that there isn't really a physical location. There's not a storefront on the corner of Main and John, for example. And so because of this, this allows the entrepreneur or the business owner to be able to do what they want, when they want, and how they want. There's not a need for them to be in a location at a specific time in order to provide these services. Of course, they may have meetings or they may have business operations at different locations, but the point is the business does not have to be in a specific location in order for it to operate. So it allows for a lot more flexibility. So number three, there is zero to little outside control over the business. Zero to little outside control over the business. The vast majority of these lifestyle businesses do not have investors or shareholders. And so the majority of them also may not even necessarily have bank loans. So the owner is not hindered by his or her decision to not get outside support or not get outside funding because they are in control of the direction the business is going and the decisions that are made. So they do not give up control to others who are perhaps outside of the overall business. So number one, income covers desired lifestyle. Number two, it's not location restrictive. Number three, zero to little outside control over the business. Number four, fewer employees. Now, in general, the case with a lifestyle business is that it is small, or it even can be just one person, but it's a small, agile team. And it tends to be more of a virtual team that allows for the most flexibility. So generally, it is much fewer employees, much fewer people involved in the business. But again, that gives the business owner a lot more flexibility and freedom. So fewer employees is number four. Number five, a lot more flexibility and less stress. More flexibility and less stress. So their hours are not necessarily set in stone, meaning that they do not have to be working from 9 to 5. It can be whatever you want them to be. So if you prefer working at night, perhaps that's where you get the most work done. That's where your hours of operation may be. You could have certainly people on your team that are available during the general workday, but the business provides you the flexibility to work when you want and how you want. And speaking of which, if you want weekend getaways, or you need to go pick up the kids, or perhaps you're training for a marathon. If you're training for a marathon, you know how many hours have to go into the training, and they may not necessarily always line up with the family schedule. You know what I'm saying? So the lifestyle business gives you the flexibility and freedom to be able to do those things because you know you can adjust your work schedule accordingly. Now, as far as stress, well, it produces a lot less stress than a traditional business because if it hinders or takes away from the business owner's lifestyle, they generally will not go in that direction. They don't put up with BS because they do not have to. So if there are things that are happening or decisions that have to be made that may hinder or take away from the business owner's lifestyle, they're not going to move in that direction. They go with what feels right. For example, if they've got a nasty customer that's just abusing them or perhaps their employees, they just will decide, hey, we're not going to do business with you. And so that's okay because they are choosing to sacrifice what they may have made from one customer because it's creating stress in the business. So generally, the lifestyle business is more flexible and less stressful. So there you have it, folks. The five characteristics of a lifestyle business. Number one, income covers desired lifestyle. Number two, it is not location restrictive. Number three, zero to little outside control over the business. Number four, fewer employees. And number five, more flexibility and less stress. In my next segment, I'm going to explore the downside of a lifestyle business, and we'll talk about what downsides there are to running these types of businesses and what you need to be thinking about. In the meantime, remember that when you make more, you can give more, and when you give more, you'll live more.
Thank you, Stu. That's good stuff. I don't care who you are. You're listening to the Ray Edwards Podcast, and we are down to our feature segment, How to Do Joint Ventures. What do we mean when we say we're going to JV? How's that different from an affiliate relationship? What are the downsides of joint ventures? We're going to explore all of that in this segment. Let's jump right into it. Part one, why are joint ventures important? One of the biggest reasons joint ventures are important is because they can grow your business. But let's begin with a definition of what a joint venture is. It's when you come together for the mutual benefit of two different parties. You and another business entity, either another entrepreneur or their business, come together, join forces in a way that's mutually profitably beneficial for both of you. Typically on the internet, this is often in the form of promoting the products or websites of another entrepreneur or another company. And it's become the custom for people to refer to any activity where one web business is promoting another web business as a joint venture. But the truth is, there's very little difference between that kind of relationship and what is typically called an affiliate relationship, where I promote your website or your product in exchange for a commission when any products are sold. A lot of people refer to that as a joint venture relationship. Now, I'm not going to argue that point. There are many who will argue and say, no, a true joint venture is only when you come together and co-create something. That may have been true at one point, but the common usage says otherwise. So we're going to go with the idea that a joint venture could be you coming together with another company or another entrepreneur and creating something new. But most of the time, it's going to be a matter of promoting together or cross-promoting one another. So that's what a joint venture is. The reason that's so important, to go back to point number one, is quite simple. You can start with no following, no audience online, no readers, no subscribers, And imagine this, you have a product that is so good, that is so compelling that you're able to get, we'll say, 10 different companies or 10 different entrepreneurs or 10 different websites to promote and endorse your product. And perhaps each of those entrepreneurs or websites or blogs, let's say each of them has an audience of 25,000. That's fairly impressive, but it's not really a big deal in terms of internet traffic. But when you multiply 25,000 times 10, you now have a quarter of a million, 250,000 readers or viewers or audience members or tribe members, 250,000. And those people can all have their attention focused, if only for a brief moment, on your business, on your website, on your product. That's why product launches work so well, because that's what's happening. There's a joint venture taking place where many entrepreneurs join together to promote the product or service of one entrepreneur, thereby granting that one entrepreneur an instant and large audience. And then those people in that audience, in that tribe, if you will, can decide whether or not they want to continue following that business or that website or that entrepreneur. You can literally create a business overnight. That's why joint ventures are so important. And you can do it at no expense to you. In the scenario that I just described, you only pay your joint venture partners if a sale is made. If no sale is made, then you're not paying them, so no risk has been taken on. You didn't risk any capital to do that. So we've defined why joint ventures are important. We've defined what a joint venture is. Point number three, how do you do joint ventures? That's the common vernacular. I want to do a JV with you. Well, it starts with relationship. And that's why events like the one I just spoke at in San Diego, JV Alert Live, that's why those events are so important. Because it's at events like that, seminars, workshops, conferences, industry trade association meetings, it's at those places where you can meet new people who are in your field or a related field and may be willing to cross-promote products or services with you or for you. Or perhaps just promote as an affiliate to get a commission. You form those relationships at those places. And the way you do it is you network. And the truth is, networking is mostly about showing genuine interest in other people. That's worth repeating. Networking is mostly about showing genuine interest in other people. If you can do that, if you can become interested in other people and other people's businesses, and ask questions and be genuinely curious and offer ideas, insights, resources, connections that are helpful to other people, over time, those relationships form. And you may find yourself in a position to do a joint venture project with that person or those people. My very first joint venture partner on the internet was actually Jeff Walker, who created the Product Launch Formula. How did that happen? Did I meet Jeff at a seminar and shove a business card under his nose and say, "Hey, Jeff, will you mail for me? Will you? Huh? Will you? Will you? Will you promote me?" No, that's not what happened. What happened was I was one of the first people to buy Jeff's original Product Launch Formula product. And then I became one of the first students of that product to send in a testimonial demonstrating that I'd used the product, followed the directions, and gotten results. And Jeff asked me to be a case study video interview for him, and I did that. And we formed a relationship, and we worked together on several product launches. I helped him with copy. I have kept a relationship with Jeff over all those years. And eventually, when I became ready to release my product on copywriting, Jeff said, "I'll promote that for you to my list." And he did. Now, that's how joint venture arrangements grow organically. And that's the way they should grow. And the key is being interested in other people and helping them first, not approaching them with your hand out. That leads us to point number four, which is things to avoid when you're trying to do joint ventures. What do you avoid? Seeming like you're just in it for yourself, what you can get out of it for yourself. Seeming like the only reason you're interested in a person is because they have a list that they can promote your stuff to. You know, one of the unfortunate things that happened at JV Alert. It happens at all events. It's not just JV Alert. And this is not the flavor of JV Alert. But there was one instance where I was talking with one of the attendees who was relating to me a conversation they had with someone there. And they told me, well, it just seemed like they were only interested in what they could get from me. And when they figured out they couldn't get anything from me, they were no longer interested in me. Now, I just want to stress that is not the typical attitude at JV Alert, but there's always going to be one in every crowd. Don't be that person, because you don't want somebody talking about you on a podcast, carefully guarding your identity so you're not shamed. Be the person who's there to help. And it isn't some kind of woo-woo, airy-fairy philosophy that I'm giving you here. It's ancient wisdom. We call it the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat people the way you'd like to be treated. That's really the secret of doing JVs. All right, so speaking of JV Alert, I'm keeping my segment of the show a little short this week because I want to share with you some interviews that I did while I was there with my new fancy-dancy portable podcasting rig. So we'll start with my interview with the founder of JV Alert, Ken MacArthur. So I'm here with Ken MacArthur at JV Alert, and we are in the midst of just an incredible group of people. And Ken, I just would like to talk a little bit about this event is all about joint ventures. So why did you start doing JV Alert, and why are JVs so important?
The reason I started JV Alert was because the first thing that I really did on the internet when I started building my own websites and things like that was to partner with a guy by the name of Jim Daniels. And we did one joint venture, and we were able to drive massive traffic to a website. We were able to do $250,000 worth of recurring revenue in the first 6 months. And the whole deal was done over email. I never even talked to the guy on the phone. And that experience made me realize that there were other people out there that I could joint venture with. So if you have that kind of a success on your very first joint venture, do you think you'd want to do some more?
Yes.
Yeah. So that was really the start. And, I think... in order to get that very first joint venture, I started out with building relationships. I built a real relationship with a guy by the name of Jim Daniels, who was one of the early work-at-home, amazing people, warm, heart of gold kind of a guy. And I thought, there must be other Jim Daniels out there. So I went to Jim Daniels and I asked him, I said, who would you like to work with? Who would you like to joint venture with? And then from that... we were able to bring in some of the top marketers in the world, and the rest is history, as they say.
Well, and you managed to attract an incredible group of people. I mean, some of the biggest, brightest stars in the online marketing world, and even famous comedians from Comedy Central. I mean, yeah. That was an amazing thing last night. So what is it that you think makes JV Alert different from other seminars or conventions?
Well, it is all about the relationship, right? And JV Alert Live is a family. I say it's like the mafia. You can come in, but you can never get out. So that's kind of the thing. We think of internet marketers and authors and speakers and coaches, but when we think of internet marketers in particular, we think spammers and scammers, or let's say the world thinks spammers and scammers. And, the truth is that some of the most warm-hearted giving people in the world are out there pushing real solutions to real problems because they care. And those people get attracted. And I'm not sure what exactly the element is about JV Alert that makes it such a warm family. But people who come here have the feeling that everybody is there pulling for them. The top level marketers, everybody that they meet at this event just has a unique quality about them. I always say JV Alert doesn't attract jerks. And the reason why is, if you're kind of that put down kind of guy, where you really like to put down other people and stuff like that, and joke about that and kind of go for that edgy kind of a thing. And, you know, I don't care. I'm just in it for the bucks kind of guy. You don't really feel that comfortable at JV Alert, probably. Now, that's not to say that the people who come to JV Alert Live aren't making millions and millions of dollars, because, you know, almost every single JV Alert Live event, there are probably $1 million joint ventures put together. But the focus is really on delivering real solutions to people and developing those relationships that are going to last you for a lifetime. So when I say that you come to JV Alert Live, you're in the family and you can't get out, what I really mean is that you develop those relationships that start at the very, very beginning, you know, start today and last for years and years and years. I mean, I think of Frank Sousa, who up until this very JV Alert Live had never missed a JV Alert Live in over 8 years of doing these events. Mm. So,
and he's a guy, you know, it's worth pointing out, he's a guy that he didn't come to JV Alert ever to get stuff from other people. He didn't come hoping, well, I hope somebody will promote me, because he didn't need that. There's a guy who's a millionaire, part of the founding team of Traffic Geyser, and yet he comes every event looking for how he can help people. And I think that's what makes this event different, is that's the spirit that people come to it in.
Yeah. And it's true. You know, Frank's got a heart of gold. He picks out a special project or a special person as a project every single event that he goes to.
Yep.
Somebody that he can help because he loves helping. And you know what? People like Frank attract more people like Frank. They attract people like Ray Edwards, you know, somebody that is out there giving everything that he has to people to really help them grow, not just for goody two shoes kind of stuff, but somebody that's going to give somebody a real solution I really believe that people like Ray are looking for transformation, where people actually get something done and they change their lives. So JV Alert Live is really about changing lives. That's what makes it so exciting.
And I know it probably sounds cornball to some people listening, but the truth is that's really what it is all about. So what would you say for somebody who's never been to an event, because I've seen a lot of people here who've never been to an event before, what should people come expecting?
Well, you know, so many people are kind of afraid to go to JV Alert Live because all these top-level marketers are there, and they say, you know, I'm just starting out. Well, it's the best pace in the world for somebody who's just starting out. I mean, what if you have the template right in front of you? What if the best in the world were showing you exactly how they do it? And what if in a small situation, you know, we cap these events at about 150 people, which means that you get to meet every single person in the room that you want to meet to. You can go out to lunch with the speakers or dinner, you know, groups of people just go out together, spend time together and mentor each other. You can look to the right or the left and see that that person is not any smarter, better looking than you are.
It's true.
And you can realize the fact that even though you're just starting out, you can say, I can do that. I can do that. I can go through those steps. I can change my life too.
So here's the big question. When's the next one?
The next JV Alert Live is November the 9th through the 11th, and it's in Denver, Colorado, a great, great place to be.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful city. So I'm planning to be there, and I want to thank you. This has been a great event, and I've seen other people's lives changed. I've seen deals made. This is an interesting story. There's a guy here who I won't out him. I won't say who he is, but he's been very quiet. He's not one of the speakers. Nobody really has paid a lot of attention to him. And I was just talking with him casually last night. He was telling me about his website that has 15 million unique visitors a month.
that's a few visitors, isn't it?
Yeah. So that guy might have something to share.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of people that you run into at JV Alert. Well, Ken, I know you got to get. We got to get the day started here. We've got Adam Urbanski's about to speak, but I just want to thank you for taking time to share with us.
It's my pleasure. You know, I love your podcast. I'm going through every single one of your history one at a time. It's going to take me a few years to get through it, probably, because there's just killer content in your podcast, and it's just an amazing show.
Thanks to Ken for being such a gracious host at JV Alert Live, and we also had a chance to speak with Michael Creesa, who's the co-founder of Easy Web Video. And I asked Michael specifically about why it is that video is so important for online marketers in today's environment.
The quick answer to this, even though it's a radio show and I can go long, is it really helps accelerate the process of, and I know you sort of disagree with this, but I'll go into depth, the ability to like, know, and trust somebody in advance. And I think part of it is we have this psychology, number one, that we covet. We covet our privacy. But at the same time, we have this voyeuristic need to look over the fence to see what other people are doing. So although we covet our privacy, we have a curiosity. It's innate within us. And if you think about reality TV, for example, that's a perfect example of why video is so powerful. These reality TV shows are everywhere. Why? Because we have this curious nature. So that's part of what video does. It helps satisfy that curiosity. But the second thing, when we talk about that know, love, and trust aspect of things, and I know you and I discussed this earlier, if I had two people on stage, one that I knew, that I liked and I trusted, and somebody that I didn't, who would I react to more? Who do you think I would buy from first?
Well, obviously the person that you know. That's absolutely right.
Well, this is what video does, because it gives the viewer the opportunity to watch this person in advance, and then I can make the conscious decision, is this the person I trust? Is this the person that I want to work with? And Floyd Wickman, the famous sales trainer, said, I'll lose the same amount of people, but I'll lose them faster. So what video does, it accelerates that process of being able to give the viewer, my audience, the opportunity to know me in advance to make that decision if I'm the person they want to work with.
What about the entrepreneur, the business owner who just has never been on camera, is not comfortable with that? How do they incorporate video into their business, into their marketing?
Very good question. But I think the one thing, people don't want to look silly. And the easiest way to do this is, it's kind of, if you can imagine for a moment going to the gym, I'm sure the first time you've ever gone there, all the machines look intimidating, the exercises look so difficult. But after you do it once, it gets easier. And after you do it second time, it gets easier. So the short answer to this is, once they get up front of a camera, it could be a webcam, a simple little camera, the more they do videos, the easier it becomes.
So now, and this question is kind of a setup, because I think I know your answer to this, but just play along with me.
Okay.
To the business owner who has not been into online marketing at all, doesn't know or even care about that, maybe doesn't even like the stuff that they've seen. But let's say I operate a tire store.
Okay.
Is there a place for me? Do I need to be thinking about video in my marketing? How would that even work?
Well, absolutely, because let's think about it from the customer's perspective. Customers are always skeptical before they buy, and we want to buy from an authority because we're so busy. We want people to make the decision for us. It's a shortcut. So using the tire retailer as a point of interest there, people have questions about tires. I don't know what kind of tire I should buy. If I have an SUV, if I have a sports car, I want somebody to help me with that. So from the retail's perspective, what if he did short little video clips about the different types of tires that they need and why? Or better still, how to maintain your tires so they last longer. So what I would suggest is they could create 10 little short video clips addressing the top questions that buyers have when they come in to buy tires.
What you're saying is so on point, and I don't know if you know Mike Stewart or not. But
absolutely. He's the one that got me into this biz.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. He got me started in audio podcasting and into video.
So, and you do a great audio podcast, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Throw that pitch endorsement in for you. But one of the things that Mike shared with me recently that really just kind of blew me away, and it was about video, because he helps local businesses market online. And one of the things they do is video. And he tells me this story about how he keeps running into people who say to him, I know you, I met you on your website. And that, I think, really sums up the power of video. And I think that for any business owner, it really is important to think of it this way. And again, I know you're going to agree with me, so there's not going to be much conflict in this podcast. But
I can be controversial and just say, you know, arbitrarily here.
But it's a way for the average business owner to have their own TV station, to be their own broadcaster.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, I just think about how technology has advanced. When Mike references in the good old days, he used to be a cameraman. Well, he was in TV, and it would cost $1 million easily to put together a production studio. But now everybody has a production studio in their pocket. Like, literally, if you have an iPhone,
yeah.
If you have a smartphone,
yeah.
It shoots video. You can do some basic editing, and voila, you can get that video online, and suddenly, you are now a TV broadcasting station.
So this gives us the perfect setup to talk about EasyWeb Video, because I know the question that's on everybody's mind when we have this conversation, that is, okay, sure, I can even see myself shooting the video on my iPhone or my Android or whatever, but how do I get it from my pocket onto the internet.
Well, see, there's a couple things here. One is I have to address YouTube because that's the easiest way. People take their video, they put it onto YouTube, and voila, the video plays. So they copy the little bit of code that YouTube generates, and they put that code onto their website or their blog, and then the video appears. But here's the tragedy behind that. Here's the evil secret that nobody talks about. YouTube is free.
Right.
But free is not necessarily free, Ray, as you and I know. I can go into a coffee shop and I can conduct business. You can meet me there. I've got my laptop. We do business. Mm-hmm. Now, if I walk you out to the car and I leave my laptop on the table, if I come back, maybe it'll be there.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Well, YouTube's very much the same. Because I put my videos up there for free, if YouTube ever shuts down my account, all the real estate properties, what I mean by that, my website, my blog, anywhere I've posted those videos, if YouTube shuts me down, all those videos are gone. So you have to understand that your video is your legacy. It's actually a valuable commodity that you have that you don't want to leave lying around, just like your laptop. You would never do that. So we've created a hosting syndication platform. So you download our software. Our software then takes that video, compresses it into a really small file, and then uploads it instantly to our servers. Does the same thing similar to YouTube, that it gives you the code that you need now to put into your blog, into your website. But here's the thing. Since it's a paid account, your videos will never go away. Here's the other thing. They're secure, so people can never steal your videos because there's ways that we can lock it down. And we've also created things that, for example, call to actions that you can put into your video. So people will see images that appear at a certain point that they can click. So maybe a buy now. We also have lead capture in there, so a form will appear that people enter their name and email address, so now you're building a list. So it's not just about watching video. We've created a platform where people now are engaged with the video.
So just so powerful, and I think the best way to answer questions about this, because I've checked it out, and I've logged into my account, downloaded the software, easy to use, really slick, pretty interface. And great-looking players. I mean, these are all things that are important. It makes you look like a pro if you're doing this, but you don't have to be. You don't have to know anything, really.
Well,
basically,
tagline is "No geek required."
Well, yeah, absolutely. So it's just easywebvideo.com, right?
Easywebvideo.com, and spell EASY webvideo.com.
Oh, like the way it's actually spelled.
Oh yeah, but you Americans like to do things the easy way.
Oh,
which
stop
is
now.
Easy web video. Yes.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for taking some time to visit with us.
Ray, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. And by the way, you do an awesome job with your podcasting, and better still, I mean, you've got me so excited about copywriting. I've been watching you over the years. You, my friend, are a true master, and what you share, even what you're doing right here, what you share impacts people in more ways than you'll ever know.
Kind words, but I will do my best to accept them. That wraps it up for this edition of the Ray Edwards Podcast. Next week, we'll be back to taking your questions. Remember, you can call those in at 509-713-2679. Please, if you enjoy or benefit from what you hear on the podcast here, do us a favor and subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. There's a link in the show notes that shows you how to do that. You can find that at rayedwards.com/029. Until the next time, may God continue to bless you, and may He keep on doing for you more than you can ask or even possibly imagine.